When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The only thing better than watching TV is taking it personally.
Okay, you guys, it's taking it personally. Just telling AG, guest co-host Tom Smith-Smythe, you know him as a writer, you know him as a Bravoholic, you know him whose credits include any number of incredible publications, including so many, including Vogue Vulture, The Cut, and the LA Times, among others. We, without knowing, we were going to just record an AG classic for an hour about Karen's shock sentencing. And then I said, okay, so our plan was in fact to record an episode about traitors, and I have video therapy in 46 minutes. So it's going to be a slightly shorter episode than anticipated, but a good one. So again, welcome to Taking It Personally. Tom Smith-Smythe, how are we feeling today?
I'm doing great. What a whirlwind morning. But I know, I'm feeling great.
I love that it's like, this is truly the AG treatment where I'm like, we have to rush through this episode and we will have been recording for over 2 hours. I'm like, we have limited time available in which to discuss. But as you know, I am such a stan of your writing and of your, you know, hashtag writer girl perspective. You've been recapping the Traitors, you know, everybody's favorite show on Peacock for Vulture over at New York Magazine. And I just rewatched before you got here the most recent episode of The Traitors. Mm-hmm. So I guess, you know, like, spoiler alert, if you haven't watched the season so far, we're going to, it's not even a spoil. We're just going to like fucking talk about it. Carolyn.
Oh my God.
May her memory be a blessing. A blessing on this earth.
I was devastated. I wanted to punch a hole in the wall.
That's what that painting is covering in the closet.
Exactly.
A big fucking hole.
Yeah. It was just so tough because, I mean, honestly, doing like sort of a quick rapid fire episode on The Traitors feels so right, because even recapping it feels insane, like a fool's errand, because I'm like, this is a show where the points are made up and the rules don't matter. Mm-hmm. Like, things change on a dime. It feels less of like a game and more of like a social experiment of like, let's get all these people in a house and just like tell them things and see what happens. Cause I'm like, cause game players do, or like people who watch Survivor, Big Brother, watch this show and they have a lot of gripes. They have a lot of, well, this doesn't make sense because da da da. And I'm like, that is not why we're here. Mm-hmm. We are here to perform a game. Mm-hmm. We're not, you know, Survivor has like airtight rules and things like that. This is a performance art piece of a competition reality show. Mm-hmm. So kind of a more surface level glazing over of this show is how I like to approach it. And it is tough recapping it because I'm just like really just going off right now. Like, I don't even remember what the question was.
I know, neither do I. Like, welcome to Annie's Girls. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
This is a good little like,
I mean, taking it personally, whatever.
Of how I like to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, recapping it does feel crazy at times because I'm like trying to go like deep dive in strategy and all of that. And I'm like, strategy one moment, it can have no bearing on the next. Like, it is such a going with the wind, going with the flow kind of show. So I do think Carolyn was such a good fit for it because she goes with the wind in that way regardless. And I felt like that energy proved to be such a great fit for this type of game because understanding Carolyn sort of feels like trying to catch smoke with your bare hands, right? And I think that fit this so well, and it proved to be so well up until this episode, because anytime someone would mention her name, everyone just completely dismissed. They were like, no, absolutely not. Like, get real, like this. And so she sort of cracked the code in a way. Mm. And then it just sort of came toppling down in a really sad way because I love her so much and I love watching her react to things.
It has to be really tough to be Carolyn, seeing all of the cast reactions after they've been like banished or whatever the fuck. And every single person, when they're like, Danielle's a traitor. Oh, duh. LOL. Yeah. And then when Carolyn's a traitor, excuse me? Mm-hmm. Every person is surprised. That is the mark of a good traitor. Mm-hmm. And it's a heartbreaker. Do you think that had she behaved differently during the challenge, that as people later said, you know, she was just too vocal, she was too confident about choices that ended up being true. Do you think if she had been a little quieter during that challenge, she would have been voted off? Or do you think that was just kind of inevitable at this point because of how passionately Danielle wanted to bring her down?
I think it would have helped her if you know, she didn't sort of give them those moments during the challenge. But I also think, I don't think this was a testament to Danielle being a good player. I think Danielle thinks that. I think Danielle thinks that, like, I got her. I think this is despite Danielle. Like, it just so happened that it happened this way. I think that it was interesting watching Carolyn and Danielle together because, in my opinion, Carolyn was a phenomenal traitor. And Danielle was a horrible traitor. Like, the things that got Carolyn in the end, Danielle has been doing three times an episode, every episode, the whole season. And yet somehow it's just, as so often, it's just like where the cards fall. That's my understanding of how this, like, it's tough to kind of view it as like A leads to B leads to C, because I think so much of this show happens or is built in the edit. Because so much happens that we can't see. And so they're going to highlight certain things. But in viewing it, we also have to understand, like, everybody's decision process, there are so many factors happening there that they just can't fit into the show. Mm. I mean, Chrishell was on a podcast saying that something that had been cut from the show was Danielle kept swearing on her grandkids. And she was saying, like, they didn't show this, but that was a big factor in why Danielle, I think, said Dolores specifically was like completely wrote off the possibility of her being a traitor because of that. Which is a very Dolores New Jersey Housewives thing to do.
Thick as thieves.
Thick as thieves. So I just think that there are so many things like that. And it kind of just depends, like, what moment you catch someone in, how their, you know, decision making will, what that will end up looking like. That it is, like, bizarrely one of the more fluid shows. So to try to nail down the thought process or what went wrong can be really difficult. But yeah, I think it just was like a perfect storm for Carolyn. And I think that it was just, there wasn't a better option on the table. I think she could have made a stronger case against Danielle. Mm-hmm. Honestly, vice versa. I thought that Danielle didn't have quite as strong. But also, to be fair, we're coming off of like the Bob versus Rob traitor v traitor showdown, which was so like boom, boom, boom. And this one was a little more passive and a little bit more. It almost felt like this showdown was a side showdown and there should have been someone else who was more in the target. But yeah, it is interesting because some episodes are like knockout fights, and then others, they're sort of at the table being like, well, we don't really have anything this week. And then they'll bring up like something like the coffin theory from a couple weeks ago.
Oh my God, it's so stupid.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, you don't have anything, no fresh ideas for this round. So let's kind of pull from something old. So yeah, it's just, it is odd to try to talk about it or recap it in a logical way because it's a very illogical format.
Yeah, and I just kind of feel like it's probably, I mean, can we all agree? I don't know how much of it is, but I think the edit probably has protected Danielle, although it's certainly frustrated a lot of the audience in people not mentioning her as much as a traitor. But there's an argument on social, I think supported by people who've already been, you know, banished, voted out, whatever, that a lot of people may have believed that Danielle was a traitor, but not, and sort of had that in their back pocket.
Yeah.
Where it's like, okay, well, she seems like an obvious traitor. Because we know that, we're going to go after other people and mm-hmm. keep her in our back pocket until the end. So
yeah, which is a smart way to play the game.
And it is a smart way to play a game. But if nobody is talking about that because it's so obvious already to the audience that she is, we feel like we're not like being gaslit, but we mm-hmm. feel like it's confounding to those of us, because my guess is I would assume the editors are trying to make it less obvious. So God only knows how she was behaving with the cast in real time. Mm-hmm. That argument, I completely understand, but I do kind of wish somebody was whispering it at this point.
Like, so I would feel
less. Yeah. So I would feel less insane, because mm-hmm. she does feel like the worst traitor of all time, like the single worst decision that production has made in any traitors that I've seen was tapping her on the goddamn shoulder. Like mm-hmm. she's terrible at this. She's also like not an enjoyable, charismatic, mm-hmm. good fit for being a traitor on this show. She takes me out of the show.
Yeah. It's frustrating to watch her.
Yes.
Because I'm like, you're so bad at this. And it's like not even in an enjoyable way. And it's just cannibalistic. And I'm like, the show shouldn't be about the traitors like going after each other the whole season. And like now she finally got what she wants. Like, it's like a group project nightmare where she immediately gets assigned this group and right away is like, no, I want a new group. So I'm going to kill them all and then choose exactly who I want, who will let me do exactly what I want solo, essentially. So it's very strange to watch. And then it's very strange to watch her make these bad moves and then go in a confessional being like, and I'm a mastermind. Because I'm like, no, this is like, feels accidental. Everything good that's happened to you this whole game, it feels like, oops, it dropped in your lap because of external reasons. So it's frustrating. But I do go very hard on her. And I'm not a Big Brother person, so I'm meeting her for the first time this game. And that's something I always consider. I mean, everybody watches the show differently because everybody has different institutional knowledge going mm-hmm. in with different characters. So I'm interested. I want to kind of clean slate it a little and see how she operates when she's not abusing my dearly beloved Carolyn, and try to have more of a, see if there's a kernel of enjoyment I can gather. I mean, when she started hyperventilating on the ground, like she was in a courtroom when Carolyn got out, that was, in the moment, annoyed me to no end. I was like rolling my eyes, da da da. I did see people online who got enjoyment out of it, and I've talked to people being like, it's almost funny how over the top and soap opera esque it is. And I'm like, okay, maybe I'll try to like be nicer.
But it's not realistic. They're not arguing that it's realistic.
No. It's just like from an audience standpoint, like that's fun to watch. And I'm like, okay, maybe if I keep an open mind, maybe it'll be fun
to
watch.
So annoying to watch.
No, I was so, in the moment I was like, ugh, because I was just like, you're shaking on the ground. Like, it's too much. But yeah, I'm interested to see how, because it's a different show every week when two people leave every week. And it's, so I'm interested to see how the season concludes and how she, maybe Brittany will bring out a better side of her.
We could have had Carolyn and Gabby as traitors, like in an alternate universe,
dream.
Sliding Doors, Gabby, who was, I know that with Tom Sandoval is like killing it as a fuck up, but like, and he is very enjoyable to watch and make fun of, but like Gabby has been such a dream breakout star for me personally.
Love her.
That it's like Carolyn and Gabby. Carolyn wanted, every time Carolyn says something out loud, this is during the Boston Rob era with whomever as a traitor, she has been thinking as a producer would.
Yeah.
So her recommendations, she's so smart. She's so on this. And all of Danielle's recommendations, again, it's like opposite day. Whenever she says something out loud, I'm like, that is not what I want at all. And her glee about having Brittany on her side, which doesn't make any sense. I mean, Ceree at one point got involved on social this week.
Oh,
did
really?
You see that? She
no.
commented on something. She had like a little like super friendly back and forth with Carolyn where she was like, Carolyn could have said yes to bringing Brittany. And then just kind of like, I think what her response or what her comment, I forget which post this was even on. I saw it like very quickly, but she had some sort of comment about, and this is Cerie, so she's a fucking genius.
Yeah.
So like Cerie is like miles above for anybody, sure. Like totally. So she's thinking about it in a way where I was like, is that how that, how did you even think that? Like, that's so fucking good. But she's saying, you know, like Carolyn, if Carolyn had just said yes to Brittany, people already thought that Brittany could have been a traitor. Bring him on. There would be more attention on Danielle potentially and on Brittany, less on you. But I wouldn't have thought that had I been Carolyn, because I'm not that smart. Like, I would have thought as Carolyn did, like, why would I bring on someone who you're just going to use to get me off quickly? I think I understand that. But then when Cerie adds that layer, I'm like, shit, that's totally right.
Yeah.
But also, who cares about Brittany and Danielle being together? It's so uninteresting. The only thing that could be interesting is Brittany turning on Danielle because she understands the huge risk involved with being aligned with Danielle on anything, let alone being a traitor. Like, that is going to make you look more suspicious than you, I guess, already do. So maybe this will be a quick flip next week, but we're already lost because we lost Carolyn.
Yeah.
Investing can sometimes feel overwhelming with all the fancy jargon that makes it seem more complicated than it really is. Maybe all those finance bros just want another thing they can try and mansplain. Well, Acorns believes that anyone can be an investor. That's why they make it so easy to stick to basic, time-tested principles that give your money a chance to grow. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, even if all you've got is spare change. Investing, for me, felt like something I couldn't start without a substantial amount of money on hand. That's why Acorns is so important. Acorns makes it easy for everyone to start investing today. Sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/andyscrolls or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/andyscrolls.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At this rate, I can't imagine a world in which the faithfuls win, or in which the traitors win, because I don't see any of them, unless it's like Ivor or something,
or Gabby. I think if Gabby came in late in the game, but who cares? It's still not going to be enjoyable TV at this point.
No. Yeah, but I mean, I don't see any faithful being like standing in the finals with either Brittany or Danielle.
Oh, and getting it wrong.
Yeah.
Agree.
So like unless it's someone who truly has been there the whole time, just like looking at the sky, like not.
I thought you meant if they switch. You're totally right.
Okay, yeah, no, that's what you were saying. Gabby would have been a phenomenal trader, and I think the show just didn't realize that until it was too late, because she's just brilliant, and she would have been so fun. That would have been like last season with like Phaedra and Parv. Like that was so good. And this season, the traders have just been mad. There's way too many game players, and they've gotten out like the personality players like way too soon. All the housewives. It was a bloodbath. I hated it.
And honestly, I was kind of concerned with the casting when it was announced and was like, this doesn't sound like it's going to be particularly good, but it actually really could have worked if they had made a different choice instead of Danielle. I really think she has been such a flop and strategically has made so many errors and her instincts are terrible. And it's so confusing to me because Big Brother is all about personal relationships and strategy. For her to be seen as some sort of breakout star to me would be because she was like talented, not because, you know, she's like the Sandoval of Big Brother. So how did this all go so terribly awry?
Yeah, it's just very strange. It's a weird season. And just, I mean, that's sort of the guaranteed thing with the traitors is it's going to be a frustrating watch because you're losing two people every week and you're going to be losing people that you really wanted to stay on your television screen. So that's a very, like, frustrating thing. I think I said with this episode is, like, I hate this show that I will never stop watching.
Yes.
Because it's so, like, to watch these people fall by the wayside, these great like television talents has been, I mean, Dorinda episode one was a great example of that because I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, that was a big name for them to like get people like me. And that's just how the show works. Like, sometimes that happens and it sucks. You don't get to see them reach their full like TV potential. Right now, thank God for Gabby and Dolores keeping me invested. I'm rooting for those two. And would love to, I mean, it's honestly, Dolores sticking around this long has been such a gift.
I didn't expect it.
No, I just didn't. I don't even know why I didn't expect, but it just feels right. And I just love any moment that Dolores is on my television screen is a good moment and adds years to my life.
Jolo would have also been a great traitor.
Oh, yes. Yeah, for sure.
Why are she and Tom doing that weird vote off thing? Is that because they both don't want to get in trouble with anybody? Or do they really? Because I don't believe them when they're like, I don't believe Jolo. And she's like, Tom is a traitor. I think she's doing the thing that maybe Chrishell did at the beginning, which is like, I'm voting for you because I don't like you.
I think it could be that. I think it could be because some of them do throw away their vote strategically. Like, I think Dylan did it 1 week because he basically was like, if you think both of the options could be actual traitors, I think he didn't want to pick one because then he was like, well, if they survive, they'll kill me for going after them. I don't think either of them are that strategic. I think that Tom genuinely thinks that Dolores is a traitor and Dolores is hitting back.
Who would have thought that Tom would have been so delightful? I mean, he's like proving all of us right who have thought, certainly coming out of Scandal and arguably before, that he's like a wild joke. Like, he's such a joke of a person. Him voting for himself during the chess game of like, who's the best ever? Yeah, I guess they said me.
I'm the leader of the show.
I'm the leader. Like, I'm the biggest threat. And it's a joke.
Yeah. Did you see Carolyn? I think, again, it was probably her podcast, but she said that, you know, they take the vans from the challenges and a group of them, and that he requested that they play his band in the car, which is gorgeous, and they should have put it on the show, but like, that's sums it up.
Tom watching the episode where he's singing and Tony winner Alan Cumming is like fully laughing at him because he cannot carry a single tune.
Sam Asghari being like, very bad.
Sam, I wasn't impressed by him, but I was like, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He had that one episode where he showed up to film, which is great. That's the other weird thing about this show is like, you'll have someone who's just truly not on television the whole season, like just completely not doing anything. Mm-hmm. And then they'll have one episode. And I'm like, is this from the edit? Like, were they just not showing their scenes? Is it like, and yeah, he had that one where all of a sudden it's like, oh, is this a genius? Mm-hmm. Did we forget that this is like, and then immediately gone. So it's a wild format.
I wonder how their reunion is going to work, because I assume that Danielle is going to be sort of the butt of the joke, although on social in real time, she seems to be in on the joke. So I wonder which Danielle we're going to get. But yeah. I was annoyed with the edit in the latest episode because she was so hyped up in her confessionals that I thought to myself, this woman is thrilled that she just got out Carolyn. So when yeah. we're getting to later in the episode, I'm like, okay, maybe there's a crazy turn of events and she's just so happy when she was filming these confessionals because she was happy to be out of the game where she wasn't under pressure anymore. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't really what I was thinking. What I was trying to like play devil's advocate with myself, but because yeah. I didn't want to see Carolyn go. Mm-hmm.
But the signs were there.
Yeah. Her mentioning her grandkids and saying, you know, like, on my grandkids, I'm not lying. Mm-hmm. How do we react to that? Because in the world of gameplay, like the Johnny Fairplay of it all, yeah. like lying that your grandmother died to advance on Survivor. The whole thing with these shows is to like pretend that there are boundaries, yeah. but not have them. How do we react to that? Did she go too far or is she playing the game?
My reaction is she looks too young to have grandkids.
Yeah, good for you, Danielle.
That's my first where I'm like,
looking
oh, wow.
fabulous.
But looking fabulous apart from that hat. But
oh, that hat.
that was a grandmother hat, actually. I don't know. I'm like, if you're going to do it, honestly, my main complaint about that is show it. Show it on the show.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we had Bob swearing, what did he swear on God and then had the reveal of, I don't believe in God. So
that
actually,
was iconic. That was so really iconic.
But yeah, I'm like, if you're going to do it, and I feel like we've even on Housewives had similar things where like that, and of course, that's a different thing because that I think is, you know, that plays very differently in the mm-hmm. in that setting versus a game playing setting. But, you know, I'm kind of agnostic on if you want to be crazy. Be crazy, but if then people are going to say that was crazy, you kind of have to own it. And I just wish they showed it, and I'm sure it'll come up at the reunion. But yeah, it's interesting. And that's what's fascinating about the show being a mix of game players who abide by one set of rules mm-hmm. and personality, you know, driven reality stars who play by a completely different set, and watching that sort of mesh and intersect and conflict and all of that is, I think, one of the most compelling parts of this format. So I just wish we actually got to see it.
Yeah. And that's also the thing with game players playing by one set of rules, because it feels like that's split yeah. within game players. Like, what's going too far? How do you react to these things? And Carolyn, watching that like sort of bonus footage on the Traitor's Instagram where she's talking to Sam, like the two people who've been voted off, exiled, whatever. They get together in like comfy chairs and then like fake library to shit talk for a couple minutes. And what she was saying was her frustration over Danielle performing emotion versus her own feelings, which she said were organic and real mm-hmm. whilst operating a gameplay that's built on being a traitor. That she's like, well, my feelings during all of this were real. Like, my reactions to things were real. I was just playing this complicated game. Mm-hmm. And that is, I mean, that's like any great method actor pulling yeah. truths from their lives versus whatever the fuck Danielle was doing, coupled with Danielle just like not being charismatic, where I almost like feel, I just feel weird where I'm watching her on the show because I'm like, I don't think you're good at TV right now. Yeah. Like, you're not even so bad. You're delightful. Not to say Tom Sandoval's delightful, but like, you're not even so bad. It's iconic. You're just like ruining this a little bit. And then she has that aside comparing Carolyn in a derogatory way to Forrest Gump.
Oh, yeah.
Who is like an iconic, wonderful, lovely, fictional character, but obviously comparing it in terms of her own derogatory opinion of Carolyn's behaviors and conflating that with someone who has an intellectual disability is mm-hmm. like just shut the fuck up. Like, you're yeah. not, she might have been making a joke, but she's so bad at joking. I yeah. just, this woman, get her off of my TV, also known as my computer screen. Please.
Yeah. I mean, that's what's really fascinating about this show and the idea of going, of like signing up for it, is that there's really nothing like it. And it can totally change reputation and perception of the people who go on it in either direction. Mm-hmm. So people can go on the show and have these star-making breakout moments like Phaedra had, which again, a lot of time had passed, but Phaedra left Atlanta in a very dark place. Mm. And I think she was sort of clawing back from that for a very long time. And of course, then was married to Medicine, but had...
Ultimate Girls Trip.
Oh, right. But then had such a star turn mm-hmm. on Traitors, like no other. It showed her in such a positive light that she then goes and gets Dancing with the Stars. She gets rehired on Atlanta, which is something that seemed unfathomable mm-hmm. forever. Like, she became this breakout star. In a way that I think changed everything. And I think the reverse can be said, where sometimes people go on and they become like the villains. And I think even earlier this season, Bob the Drag Queen, who I love and I think is phenomenal and everyone loves going into the show just didn't show him in the best light. Mm-hmm. And it put him in this situation that people didn't like watching. And it's just sort of like a chemical, like, formula thing of, like, sometimes it just is a certain light, and once they go into it, it could either be phenomenal or it could just go sour. And there's no real telling how those, you know, how that might go. But I think, like, Danielle, even having no perception of, like, her reputation ahead of time, it just is not a good fit for her. Carolyn, phenomenal fit. Sandoval, phenomenal fit, because it's like mm-hmm. this, I mean, people, I think someone at Ultra, I forgot who, but there have been a couple pieces in defense of him or saying, like, phenomenal television, which he is. I love watching him be so dumb. Like, it's, I love watching it. He's had some great moments. He's had some really funny things. And I'm like, that's a smart move for him, career and reputation-wise. Mm-hmm. And it just is, like, impossible to predict. It's not one of those shows where you think universally, no matter what, this is a good move, because that's not always the case. It could fall in the complete other direction, and it's just sort of a gamble.
I think Bob would have been, and Bob is fabulous,
yes.
would have been more of a breakout. Bob is incredible television, so it's like a strange, I don't mean to criticize in any way, but like would have been more of a breakout if he had been faithful.
I just agree.
Think that would yeah. have positioned his personality in such a better mm-hmm. way and would have removed a lot of the stress from having to make those traitor
yeah.
decisions that can just not, it sometimes just doesn't fit well mm-hmm. with like breakout personalities versus someone like Gabby, who's just a little bit, has that kind of like extra sneaky, you know, punchline kind of energy yeah. where it would have, I think, really benefited her personality, the reaction of the audience, and certainly just the plot with the cast. Like, I just think yeah. it would have boded well for everyone. I just can't get over it. Had to, I can't imagine being a production member as the show is filming and just watching Danielle. I just yeah. think she's just done such a poor job. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch her on the floor at that point. I know that, like, you had a feeling, and then watching other people's reactions being like, LOL. I don't know. Maybe, like, looking back in watching, did I think it was funnier than it was? Because I'm just like, this is inexplicable to me. I cannot believe.
Yeah.
That she's this over the top. Like, the woman is shaking. Why are you shaking this much? I know that, like, you're so shocked because you're a faithful or whatever, but, like, this looks insane.
And, like, you were going after her at the round table, so it shouldn't be that surprising, because right. your whole thing was, I think she's a traitor.
I'm confident.
Yeah, so it's not like a total shock, because you were campaigning for this.
Unless your vibe in accusing her was more retaliatory or shocked or like, I can't believe these words are coming out of my mouth. And yeah. Oh my God, I've been proving it. You were very studied in how you presented this. So why wouldn't you just be cheering like yeah. all of, why wouldn't you be mimicking Faithfuls in this moment? Yeah. Why are you trying to stand out?
Yeah, mimic Sandoval when he was right and was like, told you I was right.
Right.
I knew it.
Because he didn't
thing.
Know it. That's yes. the whole point. Yeah, he didn't yeah. know it. So when you're confidently saying, I knew it, and we know as audience members, it's because yeah. you didn't know it, that makes more sense than like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Where I'm like, it's like too much, babe. It's yeah. too fucking much.
I love that Gabby kind of caught on and brought up the fact that she thinks it could have been a traitor v. traitor moment again. Mm. I hope that catches more steam. I mean, the person she told it to was unfortunately Brittany, who now is going straight to the turret. But I hope Gabby clings onto that theory and keeps that in mind.
If Brittany is smart mm-hmm. and plays this, and I say this as someone, we have all the knowledge. So it's aside from whatever twists yeah. and turns are going to happen. If she plays this smart, she will cut Danielle loose as quickly as possible. Yeah. But at this point, we only have X number of contestants left. So it's like, who's going to salvage the show for us? I don't care as much about at all, I guess, about who's going to win, which has never really been the thing, yeah. I don't think, as much. I just want her to be gone so I feel like we're all watching the same game happen right now because yeah. it's so... Her behaviors in real time are genuinely inexplicable.
Yeah. It's. I mean, this is a type of show where I don't watch for the sake of watching a game and moves being made. I watch for good TV moments.
Yes.
And I mean, that's what I it's like, remember, it's the saying where it's like, you might not remember what they said, but you remember how they made you feel. And mm-hmm. that's how I feel about this show, where I'm like, what I remember from last season is Tamra accusing that British guy of lying about asthma. I remember
John, I think.
Yes, yeah. The like Speaker of the House of Commons or something being like, I'm gonna catch him lying about asthma. Them running and being like, I remember Kate Chastain not wanting to do a single mission and giving up immediately. Like, I remember Lord, not Ekansu. Please not Ekansu. Mm-hmm. Like, those are what, that's the bread and butter of like what makes this show good. And that's why I feel like it's less game and more performance of game. And it is tricky to strike that balance, and it must be a bitch to produce this, because you literally, being a producer, you want to have control over what's happening, and it's just like on a dime, the crazy, like your big names that you got for the show gone like that, your big ideas of like what will happen, what will completely just, you have to just completely surrender control, and you don't know what show you're making any step of the way.
Yeah. And for them, I don't know if it's a combination of it being a competition show where there are so many legal restrictions around intervening, and also like filming out of the country, where I just feel like they're just, you know, more moral than we are when it comes to manipulation of reality TV. Because I think that they really are, the producers are voyeurs. Like, there are so many specific like boundaries between them not getting involved, that they're so specific and detailed. It has to be tough to kind of watch this stuff play out and be like, this is not the show that I wanted it to be, and there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. Even, I mean, casting especially, I'm like, if you're bringing on Dorinda, you must have in mind like, oh, there'll be a great roundtable moment of them and let's go, and then just gone.
She's like, gone. Poof.
So it's like, it just must be the most frustrating, because it's frustrating for us as the audience. Mm-hmm. So I can only imagine if you're like the one trying to play puppet master, to realize like, oh crap, I have no control over what these puppets are doing.
Yeah. And the fact that they were really, I mean, there is something to be said for the fact that Danielle was a name. Like, the day of, it seemed like the conversation, unbeknownst to Carolyn at least, was Danielle and Carolyn. We saw that with Zac Efron's brother, who's the other breakout star of the season. It's just so unfortunate that it switched last minute. I just can't get over it. We could have had such an interesting possible continuation, but who she would have picked.
Yeah, because now I am thinking about like
two paths diverge.
Well, she did reference Gabby previously of one of the options, but Danielle poo-pooed it, if I'm remembering correctly. Oh, right. So, but then again, it's like Danielle has fucked so much of this season that we would have, at that point, Carolyn would have already been a name that had been referenced. So who knows how much longer she would have lasted. I mean, I don't know. Sometimes it feels like when someone's name has been suggested, people just remember that and they feel like that's evidence versus no, it was just a name.
Yeah.
That was just evidence of like somebody being wrong, but like that feels that's going to be used against you.
Yeah. Like it's, if your name is mentioned at any point, you're stained essentially.
Yeah.
And like your shot of making it through like the finals is very tough. So like even people who are squeaking through, you get like one squeak through.
Right.
Because you know by the time it's like you're at the very end, that'll come back to bite. And like, so it's at that point, it's almost like, why do you keep going? Like, you know, it's going to be over. If it's not over right now, you might make it through a couple more. But to really have someone keep you at the end, you have to have a pristine track record. And it's such a impossible like feat to get that.
Also, speaking of pristine track record, why is Andy hosting the reunion and not Sir Alan Cumming? Why is that not happening?
Andy's done all of them now, right? And it's always strange. I think Alan was like, I'm not doing that.
I don't think they asked Alan. I think that they were just like, it's going to be Andy. I can't imagine Alan turning that down. I really can't. Mr. like Emmy winner? No, absolutely not.
I don't know. I feel like that's beneath him, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think that hosting the reunion is like, that's like, oh, this is, I'm doing a reality show, like blah, blah, blah. But I think that him actually hosting it, he always refers to it as like he's playing a character. Like he approaches it as an actor, as a thespian. And I just don't see him sitting there with cards being like, and what did you? Because then he'd have to perform the whole time. It would feel weird. Like anything he says on the show is like the Shakespearean performance of like da da da. And I'm like, I feel like they do need someone who's like actually invested in the interpersonal drama of like you said this and this and da da da, and I just can't picture him doing it.
I think it would be incredible if he was still playing the part, the hyper enunciation, the everything else, or if he was being more like Alan, like the Alan that I assume hosts, the way that I assume he hosts the like Club Cumming Traders Nights here in New York, where they do a traders viewing and cast members surprise the crowd. I haven't been to one.
Same.
And I want to. Clint. Yeah.
But even that seems theatrical. Like even
he could still be
that,
theatrical though.
I don't think he
really.
I just think it would be really tough to do a full reunion in the theatrical character, because I think that the whole point of the reunion is taking that sheath like away and getting real about, well, this happened and they didn't show it in the edit and da da da. Like I feel like it's such a difference more than like any other show with reunions. I feel like the show itself is one tone and one vibe, and the reunion is like such a ripping away the curtain and like, let's actually talk about this in a way that I think they almost need to like break it up in some way.
I don't know why this is reminding me. And I know we've had like CT, obviously. So we've had some MTV Challenge presence. Why hasn't there been like a Real World alum?
Yeah. Cameron Eubanks.
Because she's a crossover. She works for Real World. She works for Southern Charm. Why don't we have that? I feel like that's a missing piece here.
I mean, the options are so like unlimited.
Yeah, true.
It's so fun. I always say every time I campaign for this, I've done it in so many different ways. I think I did it in Vulture. I've done it. I've like gotten into the ears of people at NBC. I'm like Tanya Harding. I want
the snort that just came out of my body. I'm so sorry.
I'm like Tanya Harding.
I didn't expect it. I didn't expect it.
But that's the thing. It's like there's so much room for like unexpected like figures who don't figure, but like
skating by with their thoughts.
Oh my gosh. Like there's so many people.
Jeff Galooly.
Oh my God. Do the whole crew. Do everyone. Like there's so many people. It doesn't need to strictly be from like these shows. And they do. I mean, they really are good at like kind of thinking outside the box with these British people that are just like random.
Well, because like, okay. One works. So they're like, let's do it again.
I guess we have another British person. Okay. Gemma Collins is another one who, if
anyone. Which one is Gemma? Oh, is that New York?
She's a cat cunt. Yeah.
Love it. Iconic.
She's so good. She's so funny. But I'm like, yeah, there's so many internet people like, yeah, other show, Jersey Shore. Like, there's so many avenues that we just haven't really pulled from that they should. And I think that they should do more of that and less game players.
Yeah, just less Big Brother. Because I love Survivor. Like, it kills me that we didn't see Jeremy. Jeremy's a big deal. Tony's a big deal. Boston Rob, as a New Englander who's seen, I assume I've seen all of his seasons. Like, Boston Rob is so good. I love watching him on TV. He's so entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
It's like watching a chocolate chip cookie, like, act where I'm just like, oh, my God. Just who doesn't love this? Mm-hmm. And I guess people don't love it, and maybe I think of other cookies I would prefer, but like chocolate chip cookie in terms of cookies is not my number. That's like actually toward the bottom of the list. I don't really fuck with chocolate, but I just like, you know, snickerdoodle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I call that snickerdoodle like Snooki, because now I'm thinking about Jersey Shore. There are people from gameplay from the world of Survivor who I appreciate, and obviously Carolyn is like example number one. Yeah. But fucking Danielle, man. She's fucking all this shit up for everybody. Most importantly, us. We are the most important here, mm-hmm. not the cast.
Yes.
Although the choices for the cast are very important, ultimately, because they're important for us. So it's just really tough. And now I have to run to therapy and like cry about stuff. And I just want to cry to my psychiatrist about Carolyn and Danielle. That's where we find ourselves.
I think probably most of her calls this week has been about that. So
yeah, I have
prepped.
Do you know, I was, because sometimes I try to like reach into the Bravo universe and she's like, LOL. But she did mention that somebody is watching The Traitors. And I was like, because they have excellent taste.
Oh, right.
Yep. So there we are. It is an important part of, you know, mental health.
Absolutely.
Stuff is to talk about, I guess, Carolyn and Danielle. So that's where we find ourselves. Mm-hmm. Tom Smith Smythe, what a pleasure. What a recording. We did not, you know, I thought news might be breaking about Karen and it broke right before. And then I just said, pick up the mics and off we go. So what a morning. What a day. Can you tell the AGs where they can catch up on your Traitors recaps, which I highly, highly recommend that people read and share. They're always so interesting. Your voice is always so witty. And then, you know, my apartment just has highlights all over the place of Milk and Don't Call Me Honey, your incredible sketches. So can you tell people where they can purchase your art, read your work, mention it all and more?
Of course. Thank you. I'm recapping Traitors for Vulture. So all of that is typically posted on my socials at Tom_Smythe_ on Instagram, Twitter, etc. And Milk and Don't Call Me Honey on Instagram for more Housewives and some Traitors content every once in a while. I'm online. Find me.
Love. And speaking of finding people, find me on Instagram at Dame Galley, also where you can send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Killoran Ben Simone, because I will be recording an upcoming satchel spectacular for the AG Patreon, number one way to support the pod, at patreon.com/andysgirl. So please include your first name and town. It can be about Traitors. It can be about something Bravo related. Please, again, mention it all. And so there we are. Tom Smythe, also known, as you know, as Tom Smith Smythe. Thank you so much for coming to the Clawfest. What a day. What a day.
Phenomenal day to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming. And let's just say a prayer about the next Traitors, that Brittany, you know, it's Brittany, bitch.
Yep.
Let's just hope that she does what's right for all of us and just, you know.
Bring us home.
Bring us home alone. and we would love it. So again, thanks to all of you for listening, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.